Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Marcy Cheek, and this is my show. Say what? I'm on a different time this week because I had company from out of town all last week. Oh, there it goes. Couldn't get my music to play. Here it is. I have this old Sony CD player, and it's been acting up, and I don't think there's any place you can take anything today and get something fixed. I think you just have to throw it away and buy a new one. It's in the turn on, the button I hit to turn. Once I get the unit turned on, then the button that I'm supposed to hit to make it play. So anyway, here we are, Tuesday night, 7 o'clock Pacific time, 10 o'clock Eastern time, and then it could be any morning or afternoon or who knows what in all the areas, English speaking. Areas of the world where you might be listening, and I just want to welcome you to the show tonight. I'm going to talk about retirement tonight. It's something I've been wanting to discuss with you for quite a while. And retirement, this concept we have of retirement, you know, what does it mean? So, of course, I always start out with Roger's thesaurus. And originally, the word to retire meant to go back, to recede, to shrink, to disappear, to hide, to seclude oneself. And then the word retirement means reversal, retreat, withdrawal, backsliding, relapse, abandonment, relinquishment, withdrawal, resign, give up. Give up one's post. And in extreme definition of secluding oneself, it has a definition of alienation, estrangement, solitude, isolation, aloneness, loneliness, exile, outcast, outsider, and a castaway. So how in the world did this get to be something we wanted? And when did it get started in this country? Well, back in the late 1800s, 75% of all males over 65 were still working. Now, life expectancy at that time was 49 years at birth, but if you lived to be 60, you could expect to live another 12 years. And in general, workers worked for as long as they were able to work. But by 1919, there were over 300 private pension plans in operation at major corporations in the United States. And originally, these private pension plans were offered to attract workers and to try to reduce all the turnover in the labor force and to more humanely remove older, less productive employees. Well, Germany was the first country to enact a Social Security program in 1889, but Social Security was enacted in this country in 1935. And the age designated to begin to receive Social Security was 65. Now, today you can take reduced Social Security at 62, and then there is talk of raising the age to begin to get it to 70 with the increase in life expectancy. Well, by 2006, life expectancy at birth was 74 for a man, 74 for a woman, and 20% of all private sector workers were covered by a defined benefit program, and 43% by a defined contribution plan in addition to Social Security. Well, you know, most people's retirement idea is just scenes of endlessly playing golf or going fishing or having long, leisurely lunches. And it's a time to kick back and receive the rewards for having put in years and years of hard work. And since the original idea for a retirement program was to reduce the turnover in the labor force, well, what happens is many people are locked in, so to speak, and are forced to stay at their job because they're vested in a retirement program. Well, what does this do to our personal sovereignty and independence as an individual? Well, it just pretty much puts us in prison. And so we do that dirty day-to-day job on the chain gang and just try to look forward to getting out of prison someday when we're 65 years old. And then we can do what we really want to do. Well, I live in a retirement community, so I am surrounded by people who are retired. I'm kind of an oddity because I'm still working at 79 years old. And because I'm still working, other than going to the pool to do my laps, I don't participate in all of the amenities that are offered here. There's over 300 clubs and all kinds of things like golf, shuffleboard, you know, ping pong, tennis, long bowling, bingo, square dancing, theater, orchestra. I mean, there's just hundreds of things to do. But I find that doing my weddings and preparing for this radio show every week is as much as I want to do. And because I am still working and doing the radio show, my daily fellowship is with much younger people all the time. And I find I just don't think in terms of being an old person. I don't identify with any of my neighbors. You know, they all seem like my grandparents to me. Now, I like it here because it is a gated community and the association takes care of everything inside and outside of my apartment. Now, I do own my own apartment, but everything inside and outside is taken care of. I just recently had a new garbage disposal put in, and they also came and cleaned out the drain and in the bathroom. And they keep the sliding doors on the closets and going out to the patio all oiled, and they change the fire alarm detectors, and I get a new stove and refrigerator every so often. And they maintain the washing machines and the dryers in the washrooms that are located conveniently throughout the complex. And, you know, I live in California, so there are lines there where we can hang on our sheets outdoors all year to dry. You know, sheets smell so wonderful when they've been hung outdoors to dry. And there is a sewing room, and there's always someone in there who can sew anything for me if I need it. And we have fully equipped gyms with all the latest equipment and 6 pools. And the one I go to is heated to 86 degrees because we can swim outside all year. And for retirement purposes, but especially for a single woman, this is positively the best place to live in the whole of the United States. And for me, is the best possible place to live, even though I'm still working. I pay $655 a month to live here, and that includes all of the maintenance inside and out, all the landscaping, the gate guards, bus system, property taxes, cable, trash pickup, everything but utilities and telephones. You know what? And that's not bad. Where else could a person live and get all that for that price? Because I've looked all over the United States. There is nothing like what we have here in Laguna Woods Retirement Village. And if all you have is your Social Security, you can still afford to live here. So you know, I just don't get this idea about retirement. I guess it's because I love what I do, and I want to do it as long as I can. A wedding is such a happy, happy event. Everyone who comes to a wedding is happy. They're seeing friends and relatives that they haven't seen sometimes for a long time. And I think that since weddings celebrate love and all of us need to love and to be loved, we want to go to a wedding because we feel love at a wedding. And I tell my brides, once you begin to talk about your wedding, just know that everybody's going to want to come. Now, my neighbor who lived across from me for years and who had been single for as long as I have, 42 years, was approaching 65, and she began talking about her retirement. Now, she really enjoyed her job, and she was really, really good at it. But this idea of retirement that seems to permeate the mass mind consciousness in this country was beginning to take over, and she talked about nothing else but the day she was going to retire. And I asked her, well, what are you going to do when you retire? And she said, anything I want to. So the day came, and she worked her last day, and then she was home. And within 3 weeks, she was bored to death. She came over and she said, I am just so bored. And I said, well, Mickey, you're a cute little thing. And you would look just darling in that uniform that the gate guards wear. So why don't you go over to security and see if they have any positions open to be a gate guard? And she went the next day, and she was hired, and she got her cute little uniform and began working at the gate 20 hours a week. Now, we have 14 gates here within the village. Well, soon the head of the security heard about her and asked her if she would consider working full-time and being his assistant, and she just grabbed at that job. It was fun to talk to her after that because she knew everything that was going on within the village, and I mean everything. We have 18,000 residents here in the village, and she knew about all of the affairs and all of the petty crime and husbands shooting their wives. Actually, we have had two husbands shoot their wives and then shoot themselves. Because we need to legalize euthanasia in this country. But that's another show. And then one day, it happened. She met him. Now, we have a fully manned security department with our own patrolling police system within the village. And all of the men in security are former law enforcement officers. And she met a retired L.A. County sheriff who was working security. And that was it. That ended her single life of 42 years. Within a couple weeks, he had moved in with her, and within 6 weeks, she put her condo up for sale, sold everything that she had, and the two of them moved into his father's house over in Tucson, Arizona, in another upscale and really fancy retirement community. And he took a security job, and she works at the gate. Two retired people together, still working, living and loving. Happy, happy, happy. And then there's Bill, who's 80 years old and still working for the post office. He started when he was 19 years old. So for 61 years, he's been delivering mail in the same area he started in. He knows the story of every single home on his route in San Clemente, California. He knows who's been born, who's died. He knows who's still married, who got divorced. He's seen children grow up and graduate into adulthood. He can tell you the history of the entire area. And he says, why should I retire? We do not have mandatory retirement in the post office. I can work as long as I want to. And I enjoy getting up in the morning and going over to the post office and getting my little postal car and going to my delivery area. And the amount of walking I do keeps me fit. He doesn't take any medications, and he says he feels great. And he is the best-looking 79-year-old man I know. And his girlfriend also just turned 80 years old. She became a great, great grandmother as of 3 months ago. She's never had any cosmetic surgery of any kind. She takes no medications, and she is simply adorable. I haven't ever seen her in the same outfit twice. She still works at Macy's, and she buys all of her clothes there, getting her employee discounts and first chance at all the sales. And they go dancing every Friday night. And on Sundays, they go to karaoke at a local Cheers bar where they know everybody and everybody knows them. They go up to the mountains and rent a cabin in the winter. And in the summer, they hang out at the beach. And at Christmas and Easter and Thanksgiving, they take turns going to their children's homes in the area. Bill has 4 children, and they gave him a big 80th birthday party. And we were all invited. And his girlfriend has 8 children, 4 of whom live in the local area. And we had a big 80th birthday party for her at the Elks. And the two of them danced the night away. And then there is George. Now, George's biggest claim to fame is that he retired at 32 years old. And if you meet him for the first time, it doesn't take very long before he offers this information. Because when people hear this, they make a big fuss over him. You know, really? At 32? Wow! How did you do that? And he is now 77 years old, and it is a testimony to his Capricorn accomplishment of amassing enough money by the time he was 32 years old to take care of him, his wife, and his 3 children all these years. Because who knew 32 years ago what prices would be what they are today? And he's had to be diligent to keep his money invested in a way that has kept pace with a runaway economy. But as far as being retired is concerned, he works from 5 a.m. in the morning until 7 p.m. at night. He has a million projects going all the time. He still keeps a daily list, just like he did when he worked. And he keeps a pace that corresponds to the clock, which includes going to the pool at 1 o'clock, taking a nap at 3:30, and having dinner at 7 p.m., then watch a movie and go to bed by 9, ready to get up again the next day and do it all over again. For a while, he used to go to the local corner gas station at 5:30 a.m. because he said they had the best coffee he could find in the area. And then after going to the pool, he likes to go to another corner gas station who has a soft-serve ice cream machine and get a root beer float before his nap. Now, my neighbor Eileen is 92 years old, and she still conducts a Wednesday night support group at the Unitarian Church, and she's the moderator of a social group that meets for coffee and French pastries once a week in Laguna Beach at the local Boulangerie. She lives upstairs. She's alone now. Her partner of 25 years has passed. She still drives her car and just had a full mouth of implants put in. I told her I couldn't stand to go through that. And she says laughingly, I probably won't live long enough to pay them off. But I played the piano for her 80th birthday, and I played the piano for her 90th birthday, and I keep telling her, I'm going to be playing the piano for us to sing happy birthday to you, Eileen, on your 100th birthday. She doesn't think in terms of being retired at all. She thinks in terms of being a PhD psychologist with years and years of experience that gives her the opportunity and the expertise to continue to help people be happier in their lives. And she has conducted that Wednesday night support group at the Unitarian Church for 40 years. So what is it about this retirement concept that has been sold to us that makes us almost put our entire lives on hold until we can get to retirement and then be able to do what we've always wanted to do? You know, my son feels locked in to his retirement program at his job. He thinks in terms of having to work 10 more years and then he can retire and do what he wants to. He's very frustrated in his job because almost all companies today are trying to run their businesses at zero risk tolerance, which just simply isn't possible. And all management is crisis management that seems to just limp along from one crisis to another. And then when each new crisis arises, management makes 10 times more rules and regulations trying to keep everything from happening. But something new always happens. And he feels like he cannot operate in his own personal sovereignty where he could apply his brilliance, not only academically, but also from having worked at this job for 30 years, to all the situations that could arise. He says he's sequestered in prisons of rules and regulations imposed by the legal department and other managers that just keeps him frustrated and longing for the time when he can say, take this job and shove it. And, you know, I just wonder how many other middle management people and upper management people are in this same prison. Just how many men and women in the management positions in the corporations in this country have any real autonomy to do what they really could do to make things better? My son spends most of his time in meetings trying to figure out what to do. Meetings where everybody has to agree. But everybody also has an agenda. And the clock is ticking, nothing's getting done, and the price of everything just keeps going up. My oldest daughter's been teaching for 2 years, and all of the excitement and enthusiasm she had while she was getting her degree and looking forward to teaching and really making a difference in the lives of her students has gone right down the drain. Already, she's totally discouraged. And because she says there aren't any parents today, the majority of her students could care less about getting an education. All they do is stir up trouble and cause commotion, try to get out of doing anything, go to the bathroom 20 times during a 45-minute class, and one of them called her a fat bitch. And nobody did anything about it. There's no support from administration. You're just pretty much on your own in a maelstrom of conflict and confusion. And she says, I'm just going to put in my 10 years, get my teacher retirement, and be done with this. What a shame. So if you're one of those who's looking forward to your retirement, to just be done with the job so you can tell the company to take this job and shove it, what are the chances you will get your retirement? Let's let Linda tell you her story. She worked 35 years for United Airlines as a stewardess, and many, many times during those 35 years, she took less pay at the moment so she could put more money into her retirement so she would get more money when she retired. And then United Airlines went bankrupt and canceled its pension plan. It's been the largest default by a major corporation in the history of the U.S. $6.6 billion in obligations were turned over to the Pension Benefit Guaranty Corporation, which is a government-run insurance company paid for by the companies pay into it, but it's backed up by the U.S. taxpayer. And it backs up these pension plans in cases like bankruptcy or Chapter 11 reorganizations. But this is paid for by the companies paying in some part of it, and the rest is picked up by the U.S. taxpayer. So this means that when a company like United Airlines goes bankrupt, the U.S. taxpayers are now going to be called upon to pay part of all of their employees' retirement, $6.6 billion worth of obligation. And the pilots lost about 75% of their retirement, and the stewardesses lost 25% of their retirement. And now Linda's 65 years old, ready for retirement, and she has 25% less money to live on than she should have and would have had in a time today when the prices for everything are at an all-time high. And you know what? It's estimated that more than 50% of all pension programs in the United States are underfunded at the present time. And millions of Americans will possibly have to face the fact that the money they depended on to be there when they retire will not be there. So why am I doing this show tonight? And why do I want to talk about retirement? I would like for all of us to begin to think about ourselves and to really look at what we are doing with our lives. You know, first of all, I've been telling you for almost a year now, we live on a free will planet. This is an experimental place where everyone who comes here has the right to make their own decisions and to have the kind of experiences they want to have. But I don't think that very many people feel like they have any individual or personal power to do anything. It seems like people are just born. They're taught stuff by their parents and their teachers. They reach a point where they have the chance to start to make choices for their life, and they pretty much just enter into life and do what they see other people do, and then they get imprisoned in the system. And now they have to put their time in so they can get to their retirement, and then they can do what they always wanted to do. Now, I know this isn't true for everyone. There are, of course, many people who are pursuing their dreams, who are looking into things they're interested in, who have chosen a career that they love and that they do every day with joy and excitement, and I commend you. And truth be told, these are really all the people who still continue to work. These are the people you will find who are in their 70s and 80s and still pursuing their work because they love what they do, like I do. But what about the rest of you? What about you? Are you just putting in your time and trying to get through every day so you can get that paycheck to pay your bills and maybe have a little fun, and you're just looking forward to your retirement when you can finally do what you really want to do? Now, I've already done a show on what you can do to start a business, and that show is called Find a Job or Start a Business. And I shared with you how I started my business, and I gave you some ideas about starting your own business. So my first suggestion to you is, what are you really good at? What do you really love to do? And if you don't know what you're good at, could you take some classes to hire a life coach for a temporary time to try to find out? Because usually what you're good at is what you love to do. So what do you love to do? Do you love to bake cakes? You know, the groom at my wedding last week is a cake decorator, and he works for the biggest cake company in Orange County. And his boss, who owns four cake shops, called Cinderella Cakes here in Orange County came to the wedding and helped me decorate the gazebo for the wedding. And I talked to her. And she said she had just loved to bake cakes and decorate them. And she did it for all her friends and her family. And she just decided to start a business, which she did in her garage. And now she owns 4 stores where her cakes are sold. And my groom is her chief cake decorator. And I saw the pictures of his cakes. They were gorgeous. She does wedding cakes, birthday cakes, celebration cakes of all kinds. And she's been doing it for as long as I've been doing weddings, 19 years. And she has made a ton of money, let me tell you, way more than I do make doing the weddings. So what do you love to do? Do you love to sew? Do you love to garden? Do you love to hike? Do you love to go bicycling? Do you love to dance? Do you love racing? Do you love horses or dogs? Do you love to travel? What do you love to do? Because what you love to do is a place where you could start a business. And believe me, no matter how many other people are already doing it, there is always room for one more to do it. You know, I've trained 3 other girls who are now doing weddings right here in my local area, doing what I do the way I taught them how to do it. And there's plenty of business for all of us. There's always room for one more person doing anything. And you will be doing your business different than any other way any other person does their business, so you will develop a niche. There will be a place for you to do what you love to do. And when I started my business, I still worked at my 40-hour-a-week job, and just gradually I worked less. Fortunately, I could do that. I worked 5 days, then 4 days, then 3 days, then 2 days, and finally I got down to 1 day. And I'll admit it was hard to give up that one last day. And I felt like then, oh, my God, I'm totally on my own. And that was kind of scary. But you know what? I've made it, and I've been very successful. And I love what I do, and I'm still doing it at 79 years old without any thought of retirement. It's actually nicer than retirement because I'm in charge of my own time. I can decide to take a month off and go someplace or just do nothing. I can decide to work every day if I want to. So my reason for my show tonight is, if you feel like you would like to go to your boss and say, take this job and shove it, just begin to think about what you love to do. Just begin to think about it. And even if you don't think you could start your own business, and you feel like it'd be better for you to work for someone else, then think about working in the area of what you love to do. You know what? Life is just too short to spend your whole life working, doing something you don't enjoy, working at a job that is totally frustrating, doesn't let you work in your autonomy and bring your brilliance to the job to do it the way you could do it if there weren't so many stupid rules and regulations, having to do it the way that somebody else decided it should be done, and you're just the robot making the motions, watching the clock and wondering how soon you can get out of there. So I'm just encouraging you tonight to start to think about it. Start to think about what you love to do. Start to think about what you would do every day for fun, even if you didn't get paid to do it. And then think about how wonderful it would be if you could do that thing you love every day and get paid to do it. Just start thinking about it. Retirement isn't all it's cracked up to be. Most people don't have enough money in retirement to even begin to do all the things they thought about doing while they were working. Retirement is giving up. Retirement is withdrawing. Retirement is backsliding. Retirement is abandonment. Retirement is becoming an outcast, alone and isolated from the mainstream. Retirement is not the time to begin to be true to yourself. Now is the time to begin to be true to yourself, to develop your autonomy, and to begin to live in your own personal sovereignty. Now is the time to begin to be able to express your authentic self in a unique and creative way that has never been manifested before. Now is the time to begin to do those things that you have always wanted to do. Just begin to think about it. Well, I want to thank you for listening tonight. I'm going to try to get my music to start. Oh, it won't work. So this is Marcy Ann, and I think I'll be back on next Sunday night. I'll be back to my regular time, Sundays at 7 p.m. And so for now, I'm just going to say aloha. And aloha means hello, goodbye, and I love you.